Hello and welcome to the Bot Nirvana podcast, where we dive into all things software automation. I'm your host, Nandan Mullakra. While I'm not podcasting, I write articles on nandan.info. I hope you enjoy the show. Let's get right into it.
We have Samir Gupte, the CEO of Evolute IQ, on the show today. Evolute IQ has an end-to-end enablement platform for hyperautomation. It brings together IBPMS, AI, ML, RPA, and data processing in a single integrated low-code platform. In this chat, we discuss Evolute IQ's history, how they're enabling holistic automation, how they're changing mindsets, pricing, and more. Let's listen in. Hi, Samir. Welcome to the Bot Nirvana podcast. It's great having you today. Can we start with a quick personal intro about yourself?
Sure. Nandan, thanks for having me over. Myself, my name is Samir Gupte. I'm based here out of London. And as I was telling you, it's bright and sunny. We are seeing some nice summer weather coming in.
Great.
Prior to London and prior to Evolute IQ, I used to be the group CEO for Servion, which is a group which has three companies within it. Prior to that, I used to run the financial services business as well as the European business for Virtusa. Mm-hmm. And prior to that, I was with Headstrong and part of the core leadership team. I've had the benefit actually of working with some of the leading veterans in the industry, Nandan, and with that, I think it has sort of quenched my, I wet my beak with all these people, and then I'm now trying to quench the thirst of entrepreneurship.
Okay, how has it been?
It's been great, yeah. I mean, I had a great run with Headstrong, working very closely with Arjun, who started was the founder of HCL, and Sandeep, okay, who's now the CEO for Clearwater.
Okay.
It was a great run, been all over. I did a joint venture for them out of Germany, and then I eventually ended up in London. And then Virtusa was a fun ride. I mean, I joined them when they were about 230 odd million and left when they were about a billion. Oh. And the stock price of $11 to $60. It was a good run. Great people, great colleagues. So got to build out the business in Europe across different countries, and it was exciting. And then Servion was the different challenge moving from being pure contact center to customer experience and insure tech and all of that. And then Evolute IQ is a completely different dimension. I mean, always wanted to be in automation. I think we are seeing an amazing trend right now. And I think we are in the midst of something pretty sensational and radical, which is happening in the automation world. So yeah, it's been exciting, keeps me awake, and adrenaline pumping all the time.
That's great. Yeah. No, I am also, you may know or seen it, and I am also passionate about automation. And I think this whole movement, we are into something, right? We're actually changing the way people are working, or we all work, which is amazing. And I think that name reflects that, right? Evolute IQ. So how did that come about?
Yeah, we love mathematics. We love innovation. We are a bunch of engineers.
Okay.
And so when we were starting off Evolute IQ, we wanted something that would reflect, what we like, something that would define, the culmination or the transformation of what's happening in the industry. And something which would define what computer industry is all about and all of that. And so we settled on Evolute IQ, which is, the culmination of the points and in mathematics. And we all sort of loved it.
Okay.
And the logo, right? That also is pretty interesting, because a lot of people mistake it for the DNA. And it sort of works both ways. It's not actually a DNA. That's how the evolute of a circle looks like. But we are fine with it. We are exciting. So that's how the name came about, actually.
Wow. I mean, yeah, I didn't realize that, that is a mathematical thing. Yeah. And I was thinking something like a DNA, but okay. But both ways it makes sense, evolution and, evolution.
Automation is in our DNA, man.
Yeah. Automation is your DNA, right? And so from an automation perspective, we've been evolving, right? We've been evolving from doing just rule-based stuff to now we are talking of more cognitive things, right? So from an evaluate perspective, so how does that match? I mean, what are you guys doing and what excites you about what's happening right now?
So, you know, we have, Evolute IQ, the technology has been built over the last 10, 11 years.
Okay.
And we carved it out of the group in 2019 March. And then we finished the technology for another 6-8 months before we formally went commercial in September of 2019. And, it's just very interesting. We wanted to build a technology which made automation easy. We wanted to make it simple. We wanted to make it available for people who are not data scientists or, automation experts. We wanted, simple people who understand the business, give them the ability to build something very complicated and sort of end-to-end, right?
Right.
And so when we were building all of this, the platform is built out. It's very comprehensive. And it's got everything, right? It's got an IBPMS, it has got AI, machine learning, it has got data flow, workflow, analytics, event flow, connectors. It's got all of these things already built in, and it's a low-code, no-code platform, right? And we did not know that it would be called hyper-automation. I mean, we were selling this end-to-end automation. If you look at our logo, it says absolute automation, because we never really believed that RPA was going to solve automation. RPA was never automation, right? And we have it as a part of one of our modules. And so when we built this out and when we were going out in the market in 2019 and talking about end-to-end automation, unified platform, integrated automation, a lot of people, first of all, would say, hey, who the hell are you guys? And then the second thing was, no. Do you guys have RPA? And we were like, guys, a calculator is not a computer. It can be a part of a computer, but it's not a computer, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's been the journey. We've built out this very comprehensive platform. The vision is, to make it available to the masses, make it simplified so that people can build really complicated apps and have it available at a price point which is very appealing to the mass market, right? Because as you said, right, we are evolving and automation landscape is changing.
Right.
And the biggest reason, the larger players are not scaling or are losing significant market capitalization and all of that is because they have not been able to demonstrate that they can scale because automation is not bots. I'll take a pause there, Nandan, if you have any question.
Yeah, automation is not bots, though it started with bots. I mean, like we all started probably with computing with calculators. So we did start with RPA. It's an evolution, right? And I think did you say 10-11 years? So that's a huge amount of time you have got, and you're almost like a pioneer in this field, right? I mean, even the history of UiPath and all is 2013, it's around 8-9 years. So that's a long history. So what have you been doing over this period of time? What have you learned?
So Nandan, we believe that the world is going to eventually become enterprise automation software.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You cannot solve an automation problem in isolation because automation is not a project. It is not a program. It is something an enterprise needs to adopt and execute.
Right.
And it is a very core and an integral part of digital transformation. Right. Mm-hmm. And if anything, the pandemic has shown us is that we need to have technologies and we need to have the ability to build a business which is going to be long lasting and sustainable with all these different digital technologies that are available. As I said, when we started building this out and the team that built this out, the whole idea and the vision was that we want to make this integrated technology which makes building applications easy, which makes, which allows everything to be straight through processing and do it. It was never conceived as we are building this enablement platform for hyper automation or automation or intelligent automation. That was not the concept. Was, hey, let's build something which is unified, which is integrated, which makes the world simple, which accelerates automation and all of that. And what we have seen is this is what we believe, and we have been saying this since we carved ourselves out and created Evolute IQ. What is happening is the starting point, as you said, right? Somebody has started with being an RPA company. Somebody says they are a process mining company. Somebody says they are a data extraction or an IDP company. Someone is saying, you know, they do process discovery. But each one of us are trying to solve an individual problem. But the North Star for everybody, and this has now been proved, is an integrated thing. And everybody is now marching towards it. Either it's going to be a consolidation or people are building it out. And I think we lucked out because we just felt that it was always going to be integrated. So today, what Gartner calls the 7-8 components of hyper automation, we already have them built out. Those are already in the product, or the platform rather. They already are in production with customers, and we've been doing it, and that's been pretty phenomenal. The acceptance of what we have been trying to say in the marketplace is far more today than what it was 2 years ago.
And thanks to probably, you know, this whole evolution that has been happening, parallelly, things have been happening in what you can say the RPA to the automation evolution, right? So I like what you are saying, because you approached it from a business solution perspective and looking at things and seeing, you know, what can help a customer go digital, rather than from a tool perspective, right? Or a tool or a technology perspective. Like you said, you know, people are focused on process discovery, then that's a tool. Okay, here is a process discovery, try and use it. And there are many customers using that approach. But I think that right approach is to look at it from business problem and looking at making things digital, right? I mean, and you said digital transformation. Unfortunately, it started meaning nothing because it means everything, and so it means nothing. But I think the new automation, as you said, you know, whatever we are calling as automation, you know, it's been something we've been doing for so long, right? Like we've been doing computerization, even first of all, deciding, you know, putting processes in place. Then we started computerization, which is that whole MIS wave. Then we started the, you know, the BPM and business process and modeling, business process automation. And so it's been an evolution. RPA is okay. Yeah, it's been exciting, you know, for some people to show things can be done through the screen, but it's just been an evolution of a larger trend. And so the whole computerization is what is automation. And right now we are automating the computer itself, if so to say, from an RPA perspective, but you're right. And then, so we are actually in that journey to actually making enterprises digital. And a lot of this digital is what we are calling as automation. So what's your take on that? This may be a bit controversial, but, you know, is automation a big part of digital?
So, you know, I approach it we as Evolute IQ, we approach it very simply what we see in the customer place and what genuinely we are seeing across the board, right?
Correct.
And our belief systems are sort of, you know, obviously we have a certain belief system.
Yeah.
And the thing about the industry we all are in is that, you know, we change. I mean, the industry changes, the point of view changes, the technology changes, and you have to adapt to, you know, how the sort of dynamic nature is, right? And to answer your question, you know, the way we see automation is, absolutely, right? There is RPA which solves one part of the problem, right? There needs to be some kind of data extraction, right? And that solves one part of the problem. Definitely analytics is there, and you need to automate certain dashboards and all of that. Then you got to make some cognitive stuff with the AI and the ML piece of it. So everybody solves a different piece of the problem. And this is happening in different pockets of the enterprise, because you know, if you're looking at the finance team, right? Dashboards, analytics, you know, those kind of things are very, very important to them. If you are looking at, a KYC kind of a process, then data extraction becomes a very key part of it. So automation was always happening in bits and bobs and pockets. There was a significant amount of money spent and continues to be spent on, the integration of all these different technologies, because, you know, there's no point putting 50 bots and accelerating, one task and then waiting for 3 days to move to the next phase, right? And that's where the whole digital change, transformation, adoption of automation, it all sort of comes together, because you can't have one part of the organization running at 700 miles an hour and six other parts of the organization running at 10 miles an hour. And eventually you're not going to achieve what you want, right? And so our belief has been that the customer needs to understand what transformation is, what automation is. There needs to be a buy-in from the top, right? It needs to, and that's why I said automation is not a process. Sorry, it's not a program. It's not a project. Mm. It's something the enterprise needs to commit to and have a strategy to do. And that's when it becomes more successful, because the business case works out for the enterprise. The cost savings work out. There's a proper strategy in terms of acquiring the right technology, implementing the right technology, getting the right skill sets, the buy-in from the people on the operations side, on the business side, on the tech side. And that's what we believe is actually what brings the whole digital transformation, automation together. Hope that answers your question then.
Yeah. That's very true. It's all about change the mindset, right? It's a change of mindset of the organization, of the people involved, of the stakeholders. I totally agree, right? And it's much more than the tool, right? And so from you, what you're seeing, what do you see? How do you change that mindset? Because that's the most toughest thing, right? It's, I can offer tools and I can offer many things. What would be your recommendation in changing mindsets?
You know, we are approaching it process by process, right? Nobody, there's no point going and trying to boil the ocean. One, nobody's going to do it. Secondly, to walk in and say, listen, I have got this amazing thing which is going to transform your world and change the way you think. Nobody's going to buy it. Two, nobody's going to believe you. Three, the cost of change. Just the thinking of changing is just humongous for large corporation.
Correct.
See, about 70% of the customer base I have, their revenues are north of $12 billion. So we don't deal. We are not going to small companies. We are genuinely going to the larger organizations in the world, right? The big ones. And even there, what we are starting with, Nandan, is something very small. So you have the whole order to cash process, right? But within that, we are saying, hey, can we just do maybe a record to report and show me what you have? And can we fully automate this end to end, right? And that's where we are. And can we demonstrate ROI in like 4 to 6 weeks on the parameters that you have defined? If all of this works, the customer is like, okay, you know what? This made sense to me. I had defined saying, hey, I spend, $1 million on this process. The cost of this process has now come down by 30%, 40%. I used to take 10 days to do it. Now it has come down to 6 days. Whatever the business outcomes the customer defines for a small process, if it is demonstrable, quantified, and delivered in a finite period of time, we feel that the customer gets a lot more confidence that, hey, this is bigger, right? This is end to end. This is consolidated. This can work for me. And from there, then on, it is just incremental, right? Because if you see a small process work, then you're going to say, okay, let me just extend it. Okay, then let me just extend it for the whole thing. Okay, now then let me do it across 10 countries. Let me do it across 50 countries or 10 entities, 50 entities. And soon what you see is, a customer who is doing a small process now is actually doing something gigantic. And we've seen that grow. That's typically how it has worked for us.
Yeah. And that's the thing, to build a complex system, we need to start with a simple system, right?
Absolutely.
And many of us think that, let's try and build Amazon or Uber. That's what many digital transformation consultants say. But that's not how, it works. You've got to start with a simple system and then slowly make it into a complex system. So the way you are doing things, I understand you have a tool which encompasses all these areas of hyperautomation. Or what Gartner calls as hyperautomation. And how is your approach? Is it a tool or it's a tool plus services? How does your model work?
So we are a pure platform subscription-based company, right? We have an on-prem model for people who want it on-prem. Okay. We are cloud agnostic and we are cloud, so we can be deployed on cloud.
Okay.
For small and medium enterprises, we do have a SaaS version so they can, you know, directly use that.
Right.
But we also have hybrid. We have seen some of the healthcare companies and banks actually, they prefer a hybrid because part of their data, they just cannot put out on the cloud.
Exactly.
And so it needs to be within their firewall.
Okay.
So that's typically how, you know, we have sort of gone out to the market and sort of deployed. It's a very comprehensive tool, Nandan. It's a complete platform. It is end to end.
Okay.
As I said, it has got these 8 components that Gartner has qualified and quantified in their hyper automation technology platform piece. So we have got the IBPMS, we've got the workflow, event flow, data flow, as I said, the analytics piece. We've got close to about 300 connectors out of the box. We have AI, we have machine learning. All of this is already built into the platform. And the whole platform is obviously low code, no code. A lot of jargons, but the reality is I do expect the world to become an enterprise automation software. I mean, if you look at all the players, including some of the big ones, right, who went public and everything, they all were saying we are an RPA company. And in the last 11, 12 months, they have all started talking that, hey, I'm an automation platform. I'm not an RPA. Because that is the North Star. We just are lucky that we have already built it out. We have customers who are using it. And, we've had some great success in the last 2 years.
Yeah. And for them, it's been an evolution. But for Evaluate IQ, you've been evolving, seeing that organically, it looks like. So from your perspective, I wanted to ask about that whole boundary, right? So yeah, we are talking of system thinking, and a system is complex, and so we can't, you cannot pick out one part. It needs a whole. But then a system and a system works, and a system as a whole works better than its components. So I think what you're doing makes a lot of sense because you've organically grown into what people need. But then a system also needs boundaries. So what's your boundary? That's one question. And second question is also, there's a school of thought that says that, you know, you better be an RPA company and then have partners. So be good at one thing, not just RPA, I'm saying be good at one thing and then have partners. So yeah. What is Evaluate's thinking on that?
I'll try to answer both together.
Okay.
And if I've not answered it, just let me know and I'll elaborate more. So, as I said, right, when we approach a customer or when our partners approach a customer, it never happens that the customer is saying, hey, thank God, I was waiting for you. Now I'm going to throw everything that I've ever invested in and I'm going to just work with you. It never happens, right?
Right.
There is a lot of legacy systems. There are license contracts. There are commitments. There are multi-year investments, all those things. And so you have to be very realistic. What we have seen typically works is there are two very distinct school of thoughts. Okay. Mm-hmm. There are customers who are like, hey, listen, you know, great, Sameer, the story is awesome. Your technology is awesome. Everything is great. But, you know, I believe in best of breed and I'm going to just continue with the best of breed and I'm going to buy 6 different components. And to those people, my thing is, you know, sure, you know, you can have an iPhone or, you know, which is, or you can, you know, continue to buy a separate, you know, camera, a music system, a telephone, a calculator. I mean, to each his own, right? I mean,
right.
If you're fighting a school of thought, I would rather not do that.
Mm-hmm.
But there are many people who are like, okay, you know, I understand what you have, but mm-hmm. here's the reality of the situation. I've already invested, you know, $1 million or $2 million with an RPA technology. I already have so many of these legacy systems. I already use this for AI and ML. And to those people, you know, our positioning has been that, hey, here is the whole technology platform. Here is what you can, and it is pay as you go. You pay for what you buy.
Mm-hmm.
You pay for what you consume. So it's not like you have to buy the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? Once you buy a part of it, it's just incremental. You can just keep switching on or keep switching off as you need it. And what we have typically seen is, and we have worked for 2.5 years on our pricing.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we are seeing in the marketplace is, you know, do you really want to pay $5,000 or $10,000 for a bot? I think that's grossly overpriced. Okay. But, you know, people have paid that kind of money. The way we have structured our pricing is we have made it very simple. We made it incremental. And we have priced the entire platform at a point where it makes much more ROI value than just buying a part of the technology. So it's very appealing to the customers to say, okay, you know, I'm going to start with something small and I just need maybe your RPA, or I just need your business rule, or I just need your workflow, or I just need your AI. And then as things, as they like it, as they see success, it just becomes, you know, a simple thing of, I mean, I'll give you a case in point, right? The boundary question, right? We have seen our partners go and give the customers two bids, saying, hey, here's your best of breed, $6 million. Here's this with Evolut IQ, which is, you know, 30%, 40%, or even sometimes 60% less expensive for you. And there are customers who have said, you know what, this is great, but thank you. I will still spend $6 million. And there are customers who say, hey, you know what? I'll take this, but, you know, I'm going to use it for this part, and this part. And that sort of, they define the boundaries of within, you know, what works. So that's what we have seen evolve and sort of been our success story so far now. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. It does. And an interesting perspective in terms of you spent 2.5 years on pricing. So can you delve a bit more deeper into what you learned and what's your current pricing model? That was not fully clear. Is it a consumption-based model? How do you?
It is.
Okay.
It is. Our current pricing model is a very, very simplified consumption model. It's a subscription model. You know, we do a minimum of 3 years with our customers. So they love it that way. And it is, you pay for what you buy, you pay for what you consume. Otherwise, you don't pay, right? And we sort of looked at, because there are a lot of low-code, no-code platforms which do per app, per user. And then it just gets very convoluted, very complicated, and prohibitively expensive. Because the whole idea is you buy automation technology to scale. You can't buy something and it becomes so prohibitively expensive that your business case starts breaking. And that's exactly what is happening with a lot of tech which is out there, especially in the automation space, right? Because the ROI, and which is why they are not able to scale. The customers are not able to scale those things. We experimented with a lot. I mean, it's not like we were born with the worldly wisdom. The reason I say 2.5 years is because we spent a lot of time with the analysts. We took a significant amount of feedback from customers. We spent a lot of time with their CFOs understanding why something works for them, why something doesn't work for them, how do they look at something which is CapEx, why do they look at OpEx. And eventually, you know, after a lot of trial and error, and as I said, 2.5 years of really working hard, I think we hit a sweet spot about 2.5-3 quarters ago. And since then, it's been pretty evident when we walk and talk to the customer.
So I think what you're saying is it's a consumption-based model, right? Critique of the consumption-based model is that as you scale, it starts becoming more costlier, just like cloud things, right? So how are you addressing that?
So, you know, I'm going to give you a very vague answer intentionally, because that's my secret sauce in terms of breaking the barrier of that model. But we have found a way where customers love it. Right. So the consumption model, you're absolutely right, works very well when you go from zero to a certain point. And then beyond a certain point, if you continue on a similar thing, it just becomes prohibitively expensive. I think we have found a nice way to sort of marry that model and a variation of it, where the customer doesn't feel the pinch, but the customer also respects the fact that they are scaling. And so they do need to give a part of it to us or something of that sort. So, you know, we have been able to crack that, and the customers can choose what they want at that point in time in terms of scaling. And then that's how it works. And it's very lucrative for our partners as well, because, you know, at the end of the day, they are the ones who are also working very closely with the customers.
Okay, so it's a relationship with the partner as well. But I would love to know the secret sauce at some point. I know you don't want to reveal it here, but so
I mean, it's not that big a deal. I'm just making this out of it for the impact and you know, the curiosity, so to speak. But no, I think what we have done is we've listened to a lot of customers. We have understood what actually happens, what will work for them, and taken sort of the data and looked at, you know, what is the real problem when it starts scaling, and how can we give them back rebates and money, and can it be a fixed structure for a certain group or certain processes and all of that. So it's not rocket science, but at the same time, you know, I don't have the baggage and the legacy of having sold an RPA for $10,000 per bot. And so I'm not restricted. You know, I'm coming with the whole platform in one go anyways.
Yeah, and I like that because I think one of the baggage with the other companies is this whole licensing model. It's a baggage from the past, right? Because they're trying to sell so many bots, and then that becomes a restriction. So I think that's amazing. So, you know, Evolute IQ, it's been evolving, right? So what's your next stage of evolution?
So, you know, we are very excited. I mean, last year has been a phenomenal year for us. This year has been... The first quarter has been pretty cool. The second quarter looks even better. You know, the revenues have been steadily growing, actually exponentially. We think we are at that point where, you know, we are just going to take, we have already taken off.
Okay.
I think we are in the process of scaling now.
Good.
We have seen a lot of our, so we have had no customer churn. That's one of our proud things that we say. We have not lost a customer ever since we started, and we have a significant set of customers. These are large enterprises, global healthcare companies, large insurance companies, tier one bank, utility companies. So it's been a good run so far. We are hoping to continue and sort of scale and build on it. We have a few more phenomenal releases coming up with some. So IoT and blockchain will also get integrated. So we actually believe that the whole enterprise suite will keep evolving. You know, the hyper automation, there is the next stage of composable automation, which is coming. And we are already on that path in terms of what will come as our next release. And yeah, I mean, the customer growth has been phenomenal. Revenue growth has been great. The R&D center just moved into a new office in Bangalore. I don't know. I think the biggest achievement, which one of our investors pointed out to me, was our average customer revenue is pretty high as compared to the industry, and that's because the adoption has been pretty phenomenal with the existing customers.
Okay, that's very exciting, and I'm so excited for you. That's amazing, right? So if people want to join in this fun ride with you, how can they get started with Evolute IQ?
So, you know, we are, what we did, Nandan, was we focused extensively in the last 3 years to build a strong customer base. Let's have an environment where people have tried it, tested it, believe in it. And now that we have that, Nandan, we are now expanding the community, and you would see a lot of, freemium kind of things come out over the next few quarters, where we will sort of build out a larger community and get people to download and start working on the product. We do a lot of enterprise sale. Our market is enterprise. It's not consumer. So it's a little different from that perspective. But yeah, we are putting the whole community piece together. And doing it. So, but people can, you know, ask for a demo download. We have eval license. They can get started immediately once, you know, they've reached out and sort of downloaded the stuff and done stuff.
Great. So Sameet, you know, wonderful chat. Thank you. So if people, before we go, if people want to connect with you, what's the best place to connect with you?
So, you know, whoever is in London, I'm sitting out of our Devonshire Square office and Canary Wharf office. They are most welcome. I'll be very happy to host them and show them what we have. Otherwise, you know, we do have the email connect and a chat bot on our website. But you can reach me on my my email as well, firstname@evoluteiq.com. Very happy to do that. That's how they can get in touch with me anytime.
Sameet, Sameet, @evoluteiq.com.
That's right.
Excellent. And you are in London, you know, talking to people. I see that's a lot of thought leaders out of London. So yeah, you're at an amazing place. But yeah, I mean, people, I encourage people throughout the world to reach out to you, Sameet. Thank you so much again. It's been a great, it's been a pleasure having you. Thank you.
Thanks so much for the opportunity, Nandan. And let's hope we see the big evolution of automation as we spoke. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining the Bot Nirvana podcast. Appreciate if you can leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher. Catch the show notes on botnirvana.org. While you're there, feel free to explore more automation ideas, tutorials, tools, and more. See you next time.